And it was always in the cool of the evening by then. And it just felt so good to be with my dad.
Family man.
Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. This is the show where we remind dads of what's most important. I'm your host, Scott Moore. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, Todd, how's it going?
Scott, you're saying that a little quiet. What's up?
Oh, I'm trying to be quiet here because my daughter and son-in-law got in late last night.
Isn't that weird how that switches? I mean, my family's getting all together and I'll start calling my sister my daughter's name, and it just gets confusing. But I get it. So your daughter,
my daughter,
who's married to Will.
Yes, William.
Okay, William.
We call him William because I have a Will already. So
okay, you know, okay.
And I guess they call him that in his family, but
because he wants to, because he's got a lawyer, so he has to be William,
yes,
Esquire.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Because my wife's stepmother, basically, I have two mothers-in-law. Well, now one of them went to be in heaven as of early Sunday morning. So.
And she's been sick for a while because we've
been praying for her. Almost 3 years. It was like the end of summer in 2019 when she got diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, which is just no fun. I know that's a stupid way to put it, but
I agree. Yeah. And was the very end, did it come expectedly? Like you knew it was going to happen that night, or
they've been saying for a couple months that it's going to be in the next week or two, probably. So, the last days were, none of us could imagine how she was still going. It was really not a good time, but there were moments of glory and beauty and wonder, but most of all, it was just
not fun.
Yeah, not a good time.
Yeah. Well, we'll be praying for your whole family, because I know that's hard, because I assume then your daughter and son-in-law came in for a funeral.
Yes, that'll be tomorrow. You know, at this point, we were just relieved for her to go home and be with Jesus. Right. And, you know, it's the rest of us that'll be sad and missing out as we realize things that aren't going to happen again.
Right.
I'll never dress up like Elvis and sing a song for her birthday again. Though that was a long time ago. That was on her 40th birthday. I did that. She's a big Elvis fan. So.
And I'm sure she's thankful for that now.
Probably.
That's the great thing. I mean, there is hope. My mom and I were talking yesterday about, you know, some people we know who have no hope. I mean, they just have no hope. I mean, their best hope is oblivion, you know, but it's not going to be that. It's torment, you know, and it's just so, so sad. So I know that's really hard. And that finality, I think, is hard too. You know, where it's just like that chapter's closed.
Yeah. Yeah. I was trying to be encouraging to my children and sensitive at the same time.
Right.
Cause it, you know, one of the, I suppose if there's a good thing about a long drawn out cancer is that a good chunk of the grieving happens before the actual moment of death. There's still, it's different and there's still grief afterwards, but, but, you know, you're so relieved finally for the person and that part's over. But I said something trying to be encouraging to my son about how, you know, well, she's not feeling any pain now. It's, you know, it's really a good thing. And he's like, well, it doesn't feel good to me. I can't talk to her. And I was like, yeah, I probably need to be a little more sensitive about this. So.
Oh, I think that's hard to see your kids go through those partings, too.
Yep.
So, well, you know, and the weird thing about it is, and I sometimes when I'm feeling morbid, I think about these things of how, I remember when my grandfather died, And really probably the first person who was ever close to me. As a kid, I just didn't have anybody die. Yeah. So my grandfather died after really the first person was, I was married, newly married. And we knew it was going to be really soon. And we were in bed, we were at my parents' house, and I heard the phone ring. And I heard my mom get up. It was middle night. And I heard her talk just for a couple minutes. It was real quiet. And then I heard the phone hang up. And I heard her say to my dad, you know, daddy died. And what struck me was there was this, you know, one of those alarm clocks sitting next to the bed that you wind up and it's real loud when it goes off. I could hear it clicking, tick, tick, tick. Mm-hmm. And what struck me was the clock never slowed down. It didn't stop. It just kept going. And it was just that feeling of life continues. And I thought, you know, even today, you know, it's a sad day at the Moore House, and it has been a couple sad days, so, but life continues. And even after I breathe my last, you know, after my funeral, my kids will all go out to McDonald's. I know they will, you know, and they'll continue. And there's something kind of beautiful in that, you know, because as you're having a sad day or sad couple of days, today's Ben's birthday. So this is the anniversary of bringing our first son home from the hospital 29 years ago. So that's just an amazing thing. I know we'll have a big celebration. We're all at the county fair. It's that time of year, Scott, when the county fair is back. And we talk about this every year, because in the past, you know, we've kind of run the full gamut of fairdom. You know, we grew up, or when our kids were little, we would spend maybe one evening at the county fair where we'd probably ate before we went because the fair food was expensive. But we'd get a little snack, and then we'd see the cows and the pigs and every other animal. And then we'd go home, and that was it. And then when Ben, 7 years ago, married Rissa, she was a fair girl. You know, like she grew up doing all the animals and all the activities. And so for her, being at the fair meant you were there the day it opened and you left the day it closed. And then, of course, Ike married her sister, who is also a fair girl. And then Sam married McKenna, who is a fair girl. So all of a sudden, we're like, we're going back again. We've already been. And so it has grown to, I think, 2 years ago, before COVID or whatever, whenever COVID was, 100 years ago, we take the camper and we, or our RV, and we camped it there all night or for the week. And my wife and kids stayed there. I'd kind of go back and forth, and we'd hang out every single day. But this year, I think it's just going to be once or twice. So maybe we've come full circle. But tonight for Ben's birthday, we're meeting for pizza at the Llama Barn. Where we're going to have pizza, I assume, covered in llama hair.
As I said, do they have llama meat on the pizza?
I don't think so. But, you know, I don't know. There's something about fair food and all the dust that kind of gets to me. I don't know what it is. I don't know. So today's Ben's birthday. So awesome. It's a big
Happy
day here.
Happy birthday, Ben.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, speaking of the fair, it just reminded me, and I'm random at the moment.
Oh, go ahead. This is a random day.
My uncle, who just passed a couple of weeks ago, he had been the director of the county fair for many, many years up in Lake County near Cleveland. So my cousins, I remember them saying stuff about how it was great to have your uncle or your dad be the director of the county fair, because you had the run of the place and could do whatever you wanted. So
that's an awesome thing. Yes. You know, and because my dad, now that we're talking fair stuff, Scott, I'm trying to one up you. Well, my dad was a school teacher, and he taught shop. And back in the day, when kids had practical skills, you know, and now they have study hall. but back in the day, so he taught shop. But one of the classes he taught when a big school was printing. And so my dad's a printer now, but he's always been a printer. So he taught printing. So somehow he got the summer job of being head of the printing department of the Indiana State Fair, not the county fair, but the state fair. And they gave my dad this little tiny lapel pin. And I wish, I wonder if he still has those. But when we were little, so, you know, like that 10 and under, he would take each of us separately one night a week. And we would drive in the front gate and my dad would flash that pin. And it was like, welcome, Mr. President, you know, or at least it felt that way. Like
the all access backstage pass.
That's right. And so we would go, we'd stop in at the printing building and, you know, they'd have a couple little printing presses and dad would check on things. And then we would just walk around. And those were magical, magical evenings where we'd go to the, you know, get a corn dog at the whatever the corn dog seller and then go see the world's biggest pig, which was always a highlight at the Indiana State Fair. You know, it was this big laying down hippopotamus kind of thing. And then we'd go to the merchants building where, you know, they all the vacuum cleaner salesmen and they have like the guy who's trying to sell you a metal detector and it's going over, you know, it's just swinging automatically over this little pile of gold doubloons, like you can find these in your backyard. And I always thought that was amazing. And they had a trash can that, you know, it would suck in your trash. And I just thought, again, that was magical. And then we'd go to Gooding's Million Dollar Midway. And we hardly ever did anything because my dad wasn't a big spender of money of those kind of things. And then we'd go to the poultry barn where you'd see these little ducklings climb up this ladder and slide down a little slide into the water. And then we'd get on the backside of the fair. And then we'd kind of finish up by riding this tram, you know, a tractor with a bunch of cars behind it or carts behind it that it pulls in a train-like thing. And it was always in the cool of the evening by then. And it just felt so good to be with my dad. You know, that's one of those memories you have forever. But the county fair is nothing like that. even though my kids, I asked Ben, I said, oh, how was the fair tonight? And he goes, that felt good to be back. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, he switched over. And Renly, who's five, she's already talking about getting her own cow, you know, like she wants to lead something out onto the show floor. So
do they have giant sculptures made out of butter?
They did. Now, when I was a kid, I never saw the butter sculpture. Yeah. But we were back at the state fair with our family, I'd say 5 years ago, and there was a butter sculpture there. It was fairly fantastic and pretty gross at the same time. Yeah. So,
yeah, they always had the butter cow, I think, at the Ohio one. I've won.
Right. Yeah.
Many years ago. But...
Do you have a favorite fair food, Scott? I mean, if you were going to go and you had your, and they gave you $14 to buy one item, what would it be?
I think that's probably where I first had a funnel cake, so I'd probably get one of those. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that or a snow cone.
Snow cone. Now you're talking my language.
There you go.
But I'd get a snow cone in one hand and a corn dog in the other. I mean, there is nothing better than a big old county fair or state fair corn dog. Mm. Even though I was a little ruined when we went to Alaska and they gave me one of those. They had a giant, I had a picture at one time. It was a corn dog that was at least 18 inches long. I mean, it was the biggest thing I'd ever seen. And, you know, kind of, I felt lousy afterwards. And so I don't feel so good about corn dogs anymore.
So, that's probably not a bad thing, actually.
No, that's probably not. Probably not. But, you know, I was trying to think of like what we could talk about today. And today just feels like one of those, maybe it feels like the middle of summer.
The kind of day time. When we'll get emails about not talking about anything.
Exactly. You know, I'm trying to think of the listener's name who writes me and says, why do you talk about standing up for godliness and all that? And quit talking about the fair. I'm sorry. It's just what we do. I will not blame it on Scott. It's all my fault. But it just feels like, you know, I looked outside and not quite as many lightning bugs as normal. And, you know, it's hot and sweaty and feels like the middle of summer, which I'm glad because I still need a lot more summer. I don't know about you, Scott, but I depress myself sometimes because I start thinking about, well, it's going to be over soon. You know, we only have 6 more weeks or we only have 8 more weeks. And then I'm like, it's going to be, you know, it'll be time to start back school. And then I get depressed and I'm like, why do we live here? You know, why don't we move to Florida where we have summer all year round? But I know I'm supposed to, like I said to Debbie the other day, it just feels like, and she's like, why don't you just enjoy today? And I'm like, I know that's the right answer, but that's hard to do sometimes.
I don't worry that much about the weather. I don't like it if I'm sweating all the time when I'm not doing anything, but, and I don't like bugs and allergies, but other than that, I'm good. I don't know.
So you can kind of take whatever weather comes your way.
Yeah. I get sick of every season. So I guess it's good that I live where I do. Cause
it probably is.
I mean, by the time one of them's about to be over, I'm ready to be done with it anyway. So
yeah. I just wish to me, you know, summer's just so easy. Yeah. You know, you wake up in the morning and I go downstairs. I let the dog outside. You know, I'm out there in shorts and a t-shirt. I do a few odds and ends, you know, like take out the trash or whatever. You know, in the winter, you have to bundle up. You, if you're going anywhere, scrape off the windshield. And this is just easy.
See, when summer is over, I start thinking, I start counting down. How many times do I still have to cut the grass before I'm done for the year? You know, so.
Cutting grass is not your love language.
No, you know this, Scott? I hate that.
And what does it take you? Like 25 minutes?
Oh no, an hour plus.
An hour?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so you got a pretty decent yard to push.
It's not that big. It's just there's trees.
Because you have to stop every once in a while and just complain.
Yeah, something like that. And our yard doesn't drain as well as I would like in part of it. And so if I do it, if it's rained within like the last week, the lawnmower will get all gunked up and then it stalls out and I have to scrape the crud off the bottom. And, you know, it's just ugly. I need one of those mowers that can just run over a tree and keep going, you know. Someday I'm going to have one of those.
Looks like the mower's spot a bush hog, Mabel.
Yes. They can, like, level out the molehills, too, and keep going.
Exactly. Yeah.
I need
that. Well, you have a heavy burden to carry, Scott.
Yes.
Well, so, anyway. So, I really don't have much to talk about this week. But I do know, I don't know, Scott, do you have anything on your... I know we really didn't talk about summer bucket list, but do you have anything on your list? I know your summer has been preoccupied with Jen's stepmom, but
the rest of my summer is basically letting the things we've been ignoring flood in. And I'm like the goalie trying to kick them out and keep them at bay so that we don't get overwhelmed by everything. We've been ignoring so many things and we're just hemorrhaging money because my wife's been over at her dad's place helping out for the last month and a half, and you know, almost the whole time, like she's been back and forth a bunch, and it's just like our daughter is trying to stay on top of their business together, and it's just like, okay, I'm seeing things just falling apart here and trusting that God will provide and we'll be fine. And but you know, then there's all the things like the basement and the driveway and, you know, everything that has to be fixed and taken care of and all that. And it's like, okay, God, we do have to actually keep going here. But anyway, I won't.
I get it. And really, probably every dad listening kind of feels that way.
I'm noticing the more that I talk to men, the more I realize, oh, I'm not the only one who feels like life is just falling apart around me. It seems like lots of people feel that way.
I think most people feel that way. I remember, I don't know if I read it, but it was a long time ago where someone was writing or said that, you know, when people ask you how you doing, when you say, oh, life's just really busy, they were kind of making light of that, or maybe saying not to say that, because they said, you know, everybody's life is the same way. You know, everybody's feeling busy. So why do you say, you know, oh, we're just really, really busy right now? And I think there was some truth in that, because I think we do feel like, especially dads, do feel like everything's falling apart. You know, I went to the gas station yesterday and the car wouldn't start now I was able to clean off the battery terminal, start right up. And so it was an easy fix. But, you know, it's just like one of those, you get that sigh, like, oh, you you know, I thought I could count on this car and it's let me down, you know, why this?
Yeah.
And it just feels like those things get broken and the dad's the one who's responsible. And, you know, my kids will say, hey, Dad, you know, we really need to take care of this. And I'm like, what do you mean we? I mean, you're telling me I need to take care of that.
Yeah.
And it kind of bothers me because it just feels like I'm their servant. You know, can you get the car tuned up and ready to go by the time we leave? Because I need it, you know, and
thank you for saying that, because I feel that a lot where it's like, what do you mean we? I'm the one who has to take care of this.
And maybe that's okay. Maybe that's okay. I mean,
I don't feel like it is. I'm mad about it. And I got a bone to pick with somebody. Maybe it's your fault. All this dad stuff.
Yeah.
I want a refund. Oh, wait, no. Okay, I'm all right now. That was my
okay. That's good.
I'm okay. I love being a dad. I still love my family.
I know.
There are days when you just, wow.
There are days when you see that single guy down the road, you know, who's taking his little pizza into his house, watching whatever he wants to do.
And I walk by muttering to myself, I'm a happy husband. I love my wife. I love my wife. I'm a married spud.
Yeah. That's right. So Dad, I'm going to guess maybe you're in the same place as Scott is, that we're all in, you know, that maybe you're feeling overwhelmed by life. You know, I think for me, the hard part is sometimes I can miss the important because I'm so focused on the catastrophes or all the other stuff. And I need to be better about focusing on this very fleeting time that we have with our kids. Even my son, Jed. Jed is my last child. He's 14 years old and he is not obsessed, but close to, with dunking a basketball. I mean, have you ever seen a 14-year-old kid shouldn't dunk a basketball, especially when he's like 5'7" maybe? But he does leg exercises. He lowers a basketball goal that we got for Christmas. He lowers it down and he practices it at level. So he takes a volleyball and he's like stuffing it, you know, one-handed, two-handed, you know, and then he'll raise it up. And then he gets to like a tennis ball and he can do the tennis ball at a certain height. Well, my 14-year-old 5, 6, or 7 child stuffed a volleyball at regular height the other day.
No way.
I mean, which is really pretty amazing, but he works on it every day. And every time I'm outside, I'll hear him say, hey Dad, watch this. Are you looking, Dad? And I'm like, I find myself going, you know, okay, real quick. Come on. I got to go, you know, and I know that it won't be long before he doesn't say, hey Dad, watch this. And I don't want to miss that. Really. That's why we do this show, because if it was just about us talking about unimportant things, I'd do something else. And I know Scott would like the extra hour of sleep, but I feel like what we do, you know, to that listener who says, why don't you talk about more important stuff? I can't think of anything more important. You know, this is it. And so, Dad, I just, you know, as we say goodbye for this week, don't miss any of it. You know, if you're going to go to the county fair, go to the county fair. You know, if you're going to do the snow cone, do the snow cone. I know you're busy. I know you got a lot of stuff on your plate. I know it feels like everything's falling down around you. And like Scott, maybe you have had a death and your heart is heavy. Even in the midst of that, don't miss what really, really matters. So have a great weekend, Dad. Maybe let off a few of those extra fireworks that you have left over from the 4th of July. Catch some lightning bugs. Go down to the creek and catch crawdads, or, you know, go out for ice cream, or just stay up late talking outside, enjoying the summer sounds, and the sounds of your family. And do it because you stay with me. You do, Dad.
And that's our show for this week, Dad. Thanks for joining us for the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. If you have a question for the show, email Todd at familyman@familymanweb.com. If you have a question for me, you can reach me at scott@unsocializedmedia.com. Thanks for joining us, Dad. Have a great week. We'll be right back. We're bound to get canceled one of these days.